The Baal HaTurim, in the beginning of this week's parsha, has a fascinating insight. He notes that since Moshe Rabbeinu has come onto the scene earlier in Sefer Shmos, he's been mentioned in every single parsha, and he's going to continue to be mentioned in every single parsha. But Parshas Tetzaveh, he's not here. All of a sudden, you have a parsha in the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu is not present. And the Baal HaTurim quotes from the Zohar, who says that the reason that he's not included in Parshas Tetzaveh was because later on in Parshas Kisisa, after the Chet Egel, Moshe is trying to plead with Hashem to forgive the Jewish people for this horrible sin. And it's incredible. Moshe says that Hashem, and if you don't do it, in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Lev, he says, the V'im Ayin, and if you don't, Mecheni na misifrcha asher kasafta, erase me from the sefer that you wrote. Meaning, I want out. I want out of this Torah. If you're not going to forgive the Jewish people, I want out. And Hashem then says, you know, I will go ahead and I will forgive the Jewish people. So we would have thought that once Hashem forgave the Jewish people, Moshe's original condition that said that if you don't forgive, then I want out, would not be applicable anymore. And there's no reason for Moshe to be taken out of the Torah. But the Baal HaTurim says, he quotes the Gemara in Makos Daf Yad Aleph, Amid Aleph, and the Rush in the back also quotes the Zohar, and he quotes it from a Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Vav, that he says, Kilas Chacham Afil Al Tanai Ba, that a curse of a Chacham, of a Tzaddik, when words come out of a Tzaddik's mouth, even if he said it only on a condition, it still has a roshem, it still has an imprint, it still has a lasting effect, no matter what. Words that come out of a tzaddik's mouth have an everlasting effect. And therefore, this says the Zohar, since Moshe said, Mecheni na misifrcha, erase me from your book, even though the condition didn't apply anymore, still he was going to be taken out on some level. And Hashem went lefnir mishur sadin, he went beyond, instead of taking out from the whole thing, he only took him out of Parshas Tetzaveh. He only took him out of this week's parsha. And someone pointed out to me that there's a little bit of a hint to this. Mecheni na misifrcha, the word misifrcha is misefer chaf. Misifrcha, misefer chaf. And chaf is the number 20, and Parsha Tetzaveh is the 20th parsha in the Torah, if you count from Bereishis and on. Now, this idea that anything that comes out of a tzaddik's mouth is has a roshem, makes an imprint, everlasting effect, is a very important idea, both from the world of bracha, from the blessings that a tzaddik could give us, and also, God forbid, with a curse that he goes ahead and he could give. And just to mention as a side point, Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer called Orchos Yosher, where he goes through many different midos and different character traits of people and different philosophical ideas. And in Os Zayin, titled Hashgacha, he brings a fascinating story about Rabbi Kiva Eger. That when Rabbi Kiva Eger once came to Warsaw, and the Rav over there was the Chem de Shlomo. And the Chem de Shlomo came to Rabbi Kiva Eger and he pleaded to him. He said that there's this lady who's been crying in front of the rabbis for a long time already. Her husband went off the derech and refuses to write a get to her. So she's in Aguna. She's stuck in the middle of nowhere, can't get married, can't move on with her life. It's a horrible situation. People have pleaded with the husband to try to do something to no success. They haven't been able to get him to persuade him to give a get. They thought now, Rabbi Kiva Eger, one of the Torah giants of the world, he happens to be in the town, maybe he could do something to try to persuade the Baal, the husband of this lady. So Rabbi Kiva Eger said, okay, look, I'll see what I could do. And he asked certain people to try to get the guy to come meet with Rabbi Kiva Eger. And you know, they went to the guy and they said, you want to meet with Rabbi Kiva Eger? Well, with a rabbi? I'm not going to meet the rabbi. I'll do with the rabbi. And basically the people went ahead and said to him, look, I don't understand. You don't believe in this stuff anyway. What do you care about the rabbi? And you know, them joking around, saying like, he might as well go. What do you have to lose? It's just a rabbi. You don't believe in that. So the guy said, okay, you know, I'm willing to go. So he went in front of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And Rabbi Kiva Eger had the following conversation with him. He said, he asked him first of all, why are you doing this? And the guy said, because I don't want to get rid of her. I don't want to be divorced from her. So he said, but you know, well, it was more than that. He was trying to make problems, obviously, right? So then Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, he said, but he said, I heard that when you were young, you used to learn Gemara in a base medrash. And he said, yeah, it's true. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, go get me a Gemara Maseches Kedushin. Okay, he got the Gemara Kedushin. He opened up the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger showed him with his finger on the page. He said, it says in the first Mishnah, Maseches Kedushin, that an Isha is Kona Atzma B'Shtei Drachim. That a woman, if she's in already a marriage, the way to get out of that marriage is with two ways. One is with a get, right? Or b'misa sabal, that her husband dies. If her husband dies, she's now free to marry other people, and if she has a get, she's free to marry other people. So he says, Memanoshach, Rabbi Akiva Eiger said to him, either you get rid of her with a get, but if you don't, then you can take the second approach of misa sabal. And this guy started laughing, making fun of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Crazy, right? And he walked out. And the second he walked out, he started going down the stairs. When he walked out of the house, started walking down the stairs. And all of a sudden, he felt like his eyes became heavy. Things became dark. And he fell down the stairs and he died on the spot. Okay. So, you know, you see that Rabbi Akiva Eiger had this power of kill as chacham, a curse of the chacham. But, you know, again, it's a side point, but you just see that a tzaddik's words, and again, this is also by bracha, to get a bracha, for him to give us a bracha, to success in anything, all these types, anything that comes out of the words of a tzaddik is very, very powerful. And it's a general lesson for us that our words, even if maybe not tzaddikim like them, but words have meaning, words have power, words are real. You know, the Hebrew word for words is dvarim. Ledaber is to speak. It's the same thing as dvarim. Dvarim are tangible things. Things that you could touch. Words have the ability, there's something there. There's something concrete that could last an imprint and an everlasting effect on people and other people. We have to be careful with our words, and we have to realize and appreciate the words of the tzaddikim, how much they could have an effect. Okay, but back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu is out of Parshas Tzava. And the reason, like we said, is because he said, "Mecheni na mesifrecha, erase me from your sefer." Now, there, Vilna Gaon and the Chida point out that he's not fully out of Parshas Tetzaveh. The Chida has a sefer on Chumash. It's called Chomas Anach, and it's really Rosh Tevos Chesvav Mem Tav Aleph Nun Chaf. It stands for Chidusha. That's the Ches. Vini Muke. That's the Vav. Mefarshei, that's the Mem, Torah, that's the Taf, Oraita, that's the Aleph, Nevi'ei, that's Nun, and Ketivei, that's the Chaf, Chomas Anach. And over there, he says an interesting point, that the Zohar tells us that there are Gan, Gimel Nun, 53 Parshios in the Torah. Okay, there are Gan Parshios in the Torah. Nun Gimel. And he asks, everyone asks this question on the Zohar, he says, but if you count the parshios that we have nun dalet. We have 54 parshios in the Torah. So what does that, like, what's going on over here? And the truth is, it's unclear really when the parshios were split up into the parshios that we have nowadays. But the Zohar says that they're 53. We have 54. So the Chida says, no, parshios Truma and Tetzaveh are really one parsha. It starts from Chuma, continues into Tzaveh. And therefore, even though Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in Tzaveh, which is true, but since it's like a continuation from Parshas Chuma, therefore he really is kind of there. Since he's been already in Parshas Chuma, he was already over there, and that's like the main part of the Parsha. So although he's not in Parshas Tzaveh, he still has some connection to this Parsha. It's not like he's totally deleted. And that by that, the Chomas Anach, the Chida answers that the Zohar, that really we do have 53 parshas, because Chuma and Tetzaveh are very much intertwined, interrelated, perhaps even being one parsha. Okay, that's far from simple, because this idea of 53 parshios, there's a very strong opinion and there's proof to this, to say that really Truman Tetzaveh are for sure two separate parashios, and the two parashios that should be combined are Nitzavim and Vayelech. Because if you look at the end of Parashas Vayelech, if you have your stone chumash in front of you, so it's on page 1098. So at the end of every single parasha, there's a note. This is something that's not art school did not put this in. This is something that's old and has been part of our Masorah. That the end of the parasha tells us a simin how many psukim are in the parasha. So if you look at the end of Parashas Vayelech, it says Ayin psukim. There are 70 psukim. Adoniyah simin. Aleph Dalet Nun Yod Hey is the simin. Meaning Aleph Dalet Nun Yod Hey equals 70. 70 psukim is a simin. Now everyone knows that the luckiest bar mitzvah boy in the world is someone whose bar mitzvah is Parshas Vayelech only, because Parshas Vayelech is only 30 psukim, right? It's one parak, page lamed, parak lamed aleph, until the end of the pasuk is 30 psukim, finished. So where in the world did this mesorah come to say that there's ayin psukim in Parshas Vayelech? It's not true. So the answer is because it's really including Parshas Nitzavim as well. Parshas Nitzavim has 40 psukim. Parshas Vayelech has 30 psukim. Together, you get 70 psukim. So it's clear in the Masorah that Nitzavim Vayelech were really one parsha. Even more so, if you look at the Sefer Achinuch, so the Sefer Achinuch says Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim has two mitzvos. For example, Hakel. And if you look, Hakel is in Parshas Vayelech, not in Parshas Nitzavim. So it's clear that the Chinuch also had Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech as one parsha, and it was called Nitzavim, finished. Nitzavim ends at the end of Vayelech. It's 70 psukim. There's a mitzvah hakel in Parshas Nitzavim, even though in our Chumashim it's in Parshas Vayelech. And it's really all in one parsha. So it's really unclear this what the Chida is saying, that Shuman Tetzav is considered one. Okay, but the Vilna Gaon says that there's another hint to Moshe Rabbeinu in our parsha. A fascinating idea. He says that there are two ways of looking at a person's name and the gematria of a person's name. For example, if we would take the gematria of the name Moshe, so we would look at the Mem, Shin, and the Hey, and we'd get 345. Right? Mem, 40, Shin, 300, Hey, 5, 345. However, he says we could also write out Moshe's name in full, meaning the letter Mem is not just a Mem, but it says Mem. Mem and a mem, right? To spell out the word, spell out the letter mem, we would write mem, mem. That would spell mem, okay? Shin would be spelled shin, yud, nun. And hey would be spelled hey, aleph. The hidden part, the part that's not revealed in Moshe's name, would be the letters that we don't call the letter, but the letters that are in addition that spell out the letter. So, for example, in the letter Mem, the hidden letter is a Mem. In the letter Shin, the hidden letters of Shin is Yud and Nun. And in the letter He, the hidden letter is the Aleph. So he points out, the Vilna Gaon points out, that if you take the hidden letters of Moshe's name, the Mem, the Yud, Nun, and the Aleph, you get 101. Mem is 40, Yud is 10, that's 50, Nun is another 50, that's 100, and Aleph from the letter He, the Aleph from letter He is 1, that's 101. And he points out that if you look at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, what's the simen? What's the simen for how many letters, well, I'm sorry, how many words are in Parshas Tetzaveh? So the simen is 101. Where are we here? Sorry. 101. Kuf Aleph Psukim. Michael Simen. Michael Mem Yud Chaf Aleph Lamed is the Simen. So there are 101 Psukim, referring to the 101 hidden part of Moshe's name, because Moshe's hidden in this parsha. I mean, he's there. He's there, like the Vilna Gaon says. Even if Moshe's gone, the Torah of Moshe is always continuing. Moshe's there just in a hidden way. How is Moshe represented in a hidden way? Because the hidden part of Moshe's name equals 101, the Mem, the Yud, Nun, and the Aleph, and the Psukim is 101 in this week's Parsha. Okay, so even though, again, Moshe is out, like the Zohar says, Mecheni Na Mesifrecha, but still, there is some form of a hint to Moshe Rabbeinu's name in this Parsha. Okay, but the question is, why Parsha Tetzaveh? Why specifically Parashat Tetzaveh is Moshe out? So I'd like to mention four different answers over here to this question. The last one having a very important life lesson for us. The first one is technical. The Rush, when he brings down, in the Perusha Rush in the back of the Mikros Gedolos, when he brings down this explanation of the Zohar, so he says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Esa L'chalef Nimesh Shur Sadin, Hashem says, I'm going to go beyond, Emcha Oscha Min HaSefer Sher Kasafti. I'm going to take you out of the Sefer that I wrote, Kolomar, M'Sefer V'Ata Tetzaveh. I'm just going to take you out of the Parsha of Tetzaveh, Shekasafti L'fnei Kitisa, that I wrote before Parshas Kisisa. It sounds like he's saying that in Parshas Kisisa, that is where Moshe said to Hashem, take me out. So Hashem said, okay, I'll take you out from the most recent Parsha. I mean, it's a technicality. There's nothing holy and special about Parshas Tetzaveh. It's just that Parshas Tetzaveh was the last Parsha prior to Moshe saying, I want out. And therefore Hashem says, okay, I'll take you out of just the last Parsha. Okay, technical. The Baal HaTurim has, before we get to the Baal HaTurim, the Vilna Gaon has another explanation. The Vilna Gaon says that Moshe's Yahrzeit is when Zayin Adar, right? Moshe was born and he died in Zayin Adar, the seventh day of Adar. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit almost always, a very rare time that it's not this way, but always falls out during the week of Parshas Tetzaveh, right? It's this week. Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos. Okay, so Friday is going to be Zayin Adar. So Zayin Adar, Moshe Yahrzeit is always this week. What happened on Zayin Adar? Moshe disappeared. And therefore, as a hint to that, in Parshas Tetzaveh, which is this week's Parsha, Moshe disappears. Okay, that's what the one idea of the Vilna Gaon. Okay, the Baal HaTurim says a different pshat and goes in a little bit of a different direction. He says, "V'od zua parsha medaberes betachsisei kohuna." What's this parsha about? This parsha is all about the begadim of the kohanim of the kohen gadol. Umi Moshe haisa kohuna gadol latzeis. Originally, Moshe was supposed to have the kohuna. He was supposed to be the kohen. Because Hashem, Moshe did not want to go down to Mitzrayim to go as a shliach of Hashem, so natla mimenu v'natla Aaron. The Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Kuf Beis tells us that Hashem took it away from Moshe and gave it to Aaron. Lachein lo nisko shmo shel Moshe b'parsha zu. Therefore, Moshe is not mentioned in this parsha mipnei agmas nafsho, because it's like hurtful to Moshe to be mentioned in this parsha. This should have been him. This is all about the kahuna. It should have been him. So to go ahead and to put him in there would lead to agmas nefesh. That's what the Baal HaTurim says. Alternatively, similar to that, the same exact tzura, the same structure, I heard once that Moshe himself didn't want to be in there in this parsha because this is Aaron's parsha, and he didn't want to like step on Aaron's toes. He wanted Aaron to have his own glory. Okay. Either that, or because of the agmas nefesh, because of the difficulties, the pain that would cause Moshe, maybe like the Baal HaTurim says, it's a similar idea that this is the Aaron's parsha, and Aaron's parsha, therefore Moshe couldn't be in there because of agmas nefesh or because of respect to Moshe to Aaron. Okay, the fourth pshat is given by Rav Tzadok HaKohen from Lublin, and in the Sefer Pri Tzadik, and it's similar to the Baal HaTurim in that he says that Parsha Tetzaveh is the parsha about kohuna. It's about the kohen, and that is related to Aaron, not to Moshe. Therefore, Moshe couldn't be like the Baal HaTurim in Parsha Tetzaveh, but not because of agmas nefesh or not. It's just that this parsha is all about kohuna, and that's it. What does that mean? So, for example, he says interesting idea, and this is a very important life lesson to us, to take this very much into heart. He says that the Ramban, the Rishonim, ask a very basic question in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Truma, in last week's Parsha, was all about the furniture of the Mishkan, right? The Aron is in there, the menorah, the Mizbeach, how to build the Mishkan. The structural entity of the Mishkan is all in Parshas Truma. Parshas Tetzaveh is all about the Begadim. of the Kohanim, right? Except that at the very end of the parsha, out of nowhere, is the Mizbeach HaKetores, the Mizbeach where the incense were brought up. And the question is, what in the world is it doing there? It's totally out of place. So Rav Tzadok says that no, because Parshas Tetzaveh is about the Kohuna. It's about the Kohen. What's the point of the Kohen? The Kohen is someone who elevates people, things, the mundane, to spiritual heights. That's the job of the Kohen. That he's that bridge between the mundane and the spiritual, something higher. And I saw a beautiful idea of the Maral. That the Maral says that, the Maral by Chanukah says that that is the word Kohen. The gematria of the word Kohen is 75. Chaf is 20, He is 5, Nun is 50, 75. 75 is the bridge between 70 and 80. Okay? It's the same thing as 7.5. But the bridge between 7 and 8. 7, says the Maral, represents the natural order of the world. The world was created in 7 days. 8, the number 8, is beyond that. It's one above the natural. It's supernatural. Right? That's why the word for 8 is Shmona, the same word as Shemen. Shemen, when you have oil, you put it into water. Water is the represent, is the basic of this world, is the norm of this world. And when you put Shemen into, what does it do? It floats to the top. Because Shemen, Shmona, rises above and beyond the natural basics of the world. And someone once told me a cute idea, that the word for the number 7 is Sheva. That's the same letters as the word to be satiated. We say in benching, V'achalta, V'savata, Uverachta. Vesavata Sviya Sheva means you're full. You're satiated, you're complete. Like the world. The world's complete in 7 days, we're complete. Right? What's the word for someone that's overweight? Shmeina. He's fat. He's overweight. Shmeina is the same letters as Shmona, 8, because after you're satiated and you're full, and then you eat more, you're overweight, you've gone beyond. Right? Shmona is beyond. That's why the Bris Milah is on the 8th day, because really the body's already complete, but now you're going beyond and you're fixing it, bringing it to a higher spiritual level. That's the Bris Milah. We can go on about this for a very long time. But the Kohen is between the 7 and the 8. He's 75. Chaf Hei Nun is 75, in between the 7 and 8, because his job, his role, is to bridge the mundane, the norm, to the above the norm, to the supernatural, to the holy, to the spiritual. So there, that's the role of the Kohen. Now, back to the Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok says that what was the Mizbeach HaKetores? What was the function of Mizbeach HaKetores? The function was to bring the Ketores, to have the Ketores on there. Well, what was the Ketores? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Krisos on the Vav Mebeis that although the Pasuk itself in Shmos, in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, right, where are we here? Perek Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Parshas Kisisa next week, right? It mentions only four spices for the Ketores. Samim, Samim, Ulvana, Zaka. Okay, only four spices. But the Gemara increases in Navav, real says that the Mesorah tells us that there were 7 additional spices required as well, totaling how much? 11. Okay? Now, so the 11 spices. And one of the four mentioned in Torah is Chelbina, which is a very foul-smelling, it's a foul-smelling substance, it stinks. And the Gemara says that the Chelbina represents the Jewish sinners. The Jewish sinners. Meaning, we have 10. Like Rav Tzadok points out, 10, the number 10 is Kedusha, right? Yom Kippur is on the 10th day. 10 is a minion, it represents Kedusha. 10 is holy. But here we have an 11th. We have an 11th spice called the Chelbina, which represents the sinners. Well, why are we bringing this disgusting smelling spice? Why are we mixing it together with the other 10, with the Kedusha? So the answer is, says of Tzadok, because every person, no matter who they are, they could sin, but everyone has the potential to become a Kadosh. If they connect with the Kedusha, if they connect with the 10, so they're able to switch, we have the power to switch and change the people, to help the people hit new spiritual heights. That is the power of the Ketores. There's a whole Or Gedalyahu about this, about how the Ketores it was used to stop the bad of the Magefa with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not for now. But the point is that the Ketores has that power in it to change something that's not good, something that's evil, something that has problems, to change it to the good, to bridge it, to build it to something higher. And that, says Rav Tzadok, that's the Kohen. That's what the Kohen is. The Kohen is supposed to take the mundane, perhaps the things that have issues, and bridge it and build it and take it to another level, to a more spiritual level. And therefore, he says, the Ketores, Mizbech Ketores, is in this week's Parsha. Because this week's Parsha is about Kohuna. And Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why he can't be in there, because that's not him. Moshe is not the Kohen. Not because of Agmas Nefesh, not because he wanted to be nice to Aaron, like the two pshatim we said earlier, but it's because he doesn't belong here. This is not who he is. The Kohen is this bridge. The Kohen is the idea of bringing the mundane into a new spiritual realm. And that is the Mizbeach HaKetores, and that's why the Mizbeach HaKetores has to be here. And that's a lesson for us, that we have to realize that we have that power. You know, the Torah says, Hashem calls us Mamlechas Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh. We are like Kohanim. What does that mean? I can't get a first Aliyah and I can't Duchin. So what does it mean that I'm a Kohen? Because we all have that potential to bridge and to build and to take that which is mundane and to elevate it. We could elevate this table. We could elevate our food by making brachos. Every single thing that we encounter in the world, we could elevate to new heights. We could elevate other people. We could facilitate other people seeing the good. More, even more important, we can elevate ourselves. We have to realize that we are, you know, flesh and skin. We're thick. We're mundane, but we have the potential to go forward and to use that for very, very special things. We are Kohanim. Every person has a Kohen inside them. True, we don't have enough Kohanim inside us to be the Duchener and the first Aliyahrer, right? If that's a word, it's not. But we still have that potential for us to bridge and to build. And it's a job of ours to go ahead and do that. And that, says Rav Tzadok, is the yisod of Parshas Tetzaveh, that it's a Kohen de Kaparsha. And that's why the Ketores is not there. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is not included. Have a good Shabbos.